I'd like you to turn to 1 Thessalonians 5:14. 1 Thessalonians 5:14. And Paul's writing, as we know, he wrote this letter. And we're breaking into the thought, but I just want to read 1 Thessalonians 5:14. I'm going to read it in the New King James, and I'll read it in the Amplified Bible. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. And what I would like then to read it in the Amplified. It says, comfort the faint-hearted, just that part. I wasn't going to go so much into the warning those who are unruly. I want to look into the part about faithful-hearted, faint-hearted, upholding the weak, and be patient with all. It says, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. The Amplified says, encourage the timid and the faint-hearted. Help and give your support to the weak. So Paul's telling us, as he's getting to the conclusion of this book to the Thessalonians, and he's telling to encourage those. And with that, it tells us even the timid and the faint-hearted, those aren't the ones that are so outspoken or the ones that seem to be able to do everything for themselves. It's sometimes the ones that get down in the dumps and whatnot, and they become very timid. Now let's go to Ephesians 4, verse 30. And 32, Paul writes a little different subject, a little bit different here. Ephesians 4, 32. Ephesians 4, and verse 30 to 32. It says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. And then he goes on and talks about bitter things. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, calamities, and evil speaking put away from you and with all mouths. So to get rid of them. Now notice verse 32, what I want to look at. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Now the Amplified says, become useful, helpful, kind to one another, tender-hearted, having compassion and understanding, a loving heart, forgiving one another readily and freely, as God in Christ forgave you. That's a big subject to think about that we do that. But today, I want to look at an important part of Christ's message to the believers. And we'll look at two individuals in the scriptures that set a tremendous example for us. And that the traits that they had, and that we should mimic those traits. The subject is being a servant of God. Really, those two scriptures that I read in the introduction are really talking about being a servant. To encourage a timid and a faint-hearted, help with the support of the weak. Those are very much God's ideas how he takes care of us. And he also being willing to forgive as he forgave us. So let's look at these two individuals that I like to look at today. It's in Genesis 24. Let's go back to Genesis 24. And we've seen in before Genesis 24, Abraham comes out. God calls him and he goes to where the promised land in Canaan is going to be. And this is going to talk about his son. And we'll see in verse 23... You could go back and read, but in verse 23, Sarah, his wife, dies. She's already gone. She passed away. And it says in verse 24 and verse 1, it says, now Abraham was old, well advanced in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. He was tremendously blessed for doing what God said. He already took his son up on the mountain and with Isaac and was going to sacrifice him as God said. And of course, a ram came. God provided a ram. So Abraham said to his oldest servant of his house. And I looked that up in different places, and it's not necessarily the oldest servant. It's more talking about the one that had the most authority in his household. So he might have been the oldest servant, but he was the one that Abraham gave the most authority to, who ruled over all that he had. Please put your hand under my thigh, and I will make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven, the God of the earth, that you will not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But you shall go, it says in verse 4, to my country, to my family, and take a wife for my son Isaac. And the servant said to him, perhaps a woman will not be willing to follow me to that land. Must I take your son back to the land for which you came? Notice what Abraham said. And Abraham said to him, beware that you do not take my son back there. The Lord God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and from the land of my fathers, who spoke to me and swore to me, saying, to your descendants I give this land. He will send his angels before you, and you shall take a wife for my son. Now it's interesting that what we see in the first few verses there, we should keep reading a little bit more. And if in verse 8, and if the woman is not willing to follow you, then you will be released from the oath, only do not take my son back. So he says, if she won't come, then you, my servant, I release you from bringing a woman back from my son Isaac. And then notice verse 10. Then the servant took, so he's going on his journey in verse 10. So there's a few things there that he was given. The servant was given a task to find Isaac a bride. That was one of the things that he was given to do. Now we're going to look to see how he fulfilled that and his service to Abraham. And I want you to think about while we're doing this, that the service to Abraham he did to Abraham, we need to apply that way more than what he did to the way we serve God, how we serve God. Notice verse 12 then. Then he said, O Lord God and my master Abraham, please give me a success this day and show kindness to my master Abraham. Behold, I stand by the water, well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city are coming out to draw water. Now let it be that the young woman to whom I say, please let down your pitcher, that I may drink, and she says, drink, I will also give you camel's drink. Let her be the one you have appointed for me to serve your servant Isaac. And by this I will know that you have shown kindness to me. So the first thing this servant does is when he gets over to the land where Abraham came from, at the well, he gets down on his knees or however he does it, but he's praying to God and asking for help. And that's the same for us. We need to ask for help from God. We need to continually praying and asking him to help and guide us in serving others. In verse 13 and 14, he's standing here by the well, the water. The daughters of the city are coming to draw water. And he says about this young maid come out. Now, it's interesting that in verse 10, which I skipped, it says he came there with many things from his servant Abraham. It says, then the servant took 10 of his master's camels and departed from all his master's goods were in his hands. And he went to Mesopotamia, the city of Nara. So he's got 10 camels with him. And he just asked God to give him this person that's going to come, this maid, a young woman, is going to give him water to drink, and then she must offer to water all his camels. And of course, we know that's what she did. Look what happened in verse 15. And it happened before he had finished speaking that, behold, Rebekah was, who was born of, he said his names the other day. Instead of saying the names, I forget what Mr. Cole told us. Applesauce. Yeah, applesauce. That's a good one for me. Just read those names. Applesauce to applesauce. And Abraham's brother came out with her pictures on her shoulder. Now, it's interesting. This woman comes out with her on her shoulder. A pitcher. What kind of pitcher did they have? So I have here it says, A Manner and Customs of the Bible by James M. Fremont. And it says, talks about the pitcher. The ancient pitchers were earthware. And it says, you can see in Judges 12:20, where it says that Gideon's men were breaking theirs. Remember they had pitchers and they put them over their torches? And then when they broke the thing, they looked like there was a whole mess of people around the army. There was a whole bunch of them when there was only 300. You can remember the account probably. Well, anyhow, it says, such are now for drawing water. Some have one handle, others have two. So the pitcher was just something that was shaped and had a handle out one side, and it was probably a yay big or so. or sometimes it had two. Now, it's interesting that we'll look at a couple more after a bit about that as we go on, but we'll see about Rachel. She brings a pitcher. Let's read about that in verse 16. Now, the young woman was very beautiful, and behold, a virgin. No man had known her. And she went down to the well and found her pitcher and came up to fill her pitcher and come up. It's interesting that it says that they did that in the evenings and as well as in the morning. This was apparently in the evening. And the servant ran to meet her and said, "Please let me drink a little of the water from your pitchers." And she said, "Drink, my lord." Then she quickly let her pitcher down to her hand and gave him a drink. And when she had finished giving him a drink, she said, "I will draw water for your camels." How many were there? 10. 10 camels. How much did they drink? Do you have any idea? Then she quickly emptied her pitcher in the trough, ran back to the well to draw water, and drew for all his camels. Well, I looked that up too. That's interesting. Do you know a camel? Let's see if I find it here in my notes. Where did I write it down? Ah, yes, here. 1 gallon of water is about 8.3 pounds. One camel, now there's rough estimates. If it's really, really thirsty and it's really out, it drinks 40 gallons. But let's say they only drink 30. Because, you know, they walked across from Mesopotamia, and maybe it wasn't quite as dry there. Seems like it's pretty dry there as you walk across in northern Iraq, or however they went in the trade routes to Babylon, towards that way. Well, anyhow, so let's say 30 gallons. And I must tell you something about the well. Well, to go back to this, but let's look about the well in this manner, as I forgot to tell you about the well. She went down to the well and filled her pitchers. What kind of well is that? What kind of wells did they have? It says the wells are usually approached by a flight of steps. So the water wasn't up at the top, it was down, so they made steps to go down. That was one way they did it. So maybe she went down by steps. And then it says, in some cases the wells are dug deep and require a rope or some simple mechanics to raise the water from the ground. So we see, it looks like from the scriptures that she walked down steps, because it says, a pitcher and down to her hands and gave him a drink. And then she finished in verse 19, "I will draw water." So it could have been, if he's drawing water, it could have been a rope too. "And said unto them, I have finished drinking." And then she empties her pitcher into a trough, each back to the well to draw water and draw for all his camels. And then it's interesting, it talks about the trough in there. Most times it's made out of stone and they hewed it out. Or sometimes if they had wood, they would make it out of wood, out of a log. Well, how much water did she carry? She had to feed these 30 gallons for one camel, and there's 10 of them. Well, for one camel, if each gallon is 8.3, she comes out to 249 pounds. That's what she carried. That's a lot of weight. And if you times that by 10, that's 2,490 pounds. That's 1 ton and a quarter that she carried for water. Now, she might have had a servant come with her. It doesn't mention that, but when she leaves and goes back to Isaac, she has this maidservant, and it seems to be going with her everywhere she goes. Maybe she helped her, so you would divide it in half. That's a lot of water. Walking down the steps each time, drawing the water out in her pitcher, going back, filling it in the trough. What do you think about her? What kind of woman was she? She must have been very healthy, right? Be able to walk down them steps. She must have had a lot of endurance. It was evidently, it's no simple task, right? It was no simple task. It was difficult. It took a lot of effort. She put a lot of effort in that. When she said she would give him water and water those 10 camels, she could see how many were there. That took a lot of effort to be a servant to him, to do that for him. It took a lot of effort. And notice, lost my place in my notes. Took a lot of effort and a sacrifice on her behalf. She was supposed to come, draw water, and take it back to her house. And how long did it take her? She was there a numerous amount of time, a long time, to draw the water for the camels. And then it says, verse 16, I read that to you already. Now the young woman was very beautiful to behold, a virgin, no man had known her, and she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. So she kept doing that. She filled her pitcher and came up. So she did a lot of steps. I told you that already. Okay, so Rebecca, by doing this, we'll see that her name is Rebecca as we go on. Rebecca, by doing this, she had a servant's attitude, and one needed to have. One, this is some of her service attitudes she showed. One, she was willing to work voluntarily with no pay. She didn't know she was going to get paid, although the gentleman then said he gave her a nose ring of gold, so much, we'll see that a little later, and a bracelet for her arm. And then, of course, she got more things later on, but she didn't know that in the beginning. So she did all that voluntarily with no pay. To help a stranger she didn't even know. And that puts a lot of emphasis. When I read that, I thought to myself, how do I do about those things? Am I like Rachel and Rebecca in that respect? Do I do things for others without ever thinking about getting paid? And then the second thing she showed was she showed kindness to the servant. She demonstrated an attitude of generosity. She had extremely high work ethics to go up and down those steps. How many times it took, I don't know exactly, but numerous times to water them cans. She had great stamina and she had great work ethics. How are we? She had a stick-to-itiveness to finish the job. How many of us today, after going up and down the steps, taking water and putting it in the trough or whatever it is, say, oh, I had enough. I want to go home. Right? I don't want to do this no more. This is too hard of work. Okay. And she didn't stop until the task was completely done. She was selfless. She wasn't selfish. She didn't think about herself while she was doing that, did she? How could she? She couldn't think about herself if she was doing this for somebody else and she stuck to it so much. If you were selfish in any way, if I was selfish in any way, if I was doing a task, I would have quit. I don't like this. This is hard on my legs, my back hurts, my neck hurts, my shoulders hurt, and my arms hurt from carrying all those things. She was selfless. What she wanted was not there. She was thinking of others first. Totally first. Not of herself. So she had a tremendous attitude as a servant. And since we'll go on, eventually we'll get to the point where Christ tells us to be servants. Are we like that to him? That's an interesting thought. Okay. So let's look about the servant now. I started to give you a little bit about the servant back in the beginning. He was given from Abraham. He gave him something to do. Go to this place, bring back a wife for his son Isaac. And he set off on the trek. He did what he was doing. He was given a task. The next thing is he asked God. I told you that already in verse 12 and 14. And he prayed for an answer. And Rebecca appeared, and she did the task he prayed for. The third thing happened in verse 48. Now, it recaps a little bit during the rest of the chapter. You can read that in between. Might go back and read a little later. But if you go to verse 48, after he finds out Rebecca, he does this in verse 48. I bow my head and worship the Lord and bless the Lord God of my master Abraham, who has led me in the way of truth to take the daughter of my master's brother for his son. So he, as soon as he had any amount of time, any spare time, he went and prayed to God and thanked him for showing this woman to him, bringing him to her, so that he could. So he was very thankful to God. And then verse 49 through 54, it says, now if you will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me, and if not, tell me that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. So he's talking to Laban and her relatives. Then Laban and Bethel answered and said, that the things come from the Lord, we cannot speak to you either bad or good. So Laban was her brother, and the lady Bethel was her mother. Verse 51, here is Rebekah before you. Take her and go, and let her be your master's son's wife, as the Lord has spoken. And it came to pass when Abraham's servant heard these words that he worshipped the Lord, bowed himself to the earth. Then the servant brought out the jewels of silver and gold and clothing and gave them to Rebekah. And he also gave precious things to his brother, her brother, which was Laban, and to her mother. And he and the men who were with him ate and drank and stayed all night. They arose in the morning and said, "Send us away to my master." So there's something else that we're going to see about this servant. But his brother, now you remember Laban, as you go on, you'll read about him. You probably remember about Jacob. He gets there, he has to serve 7 years for one wife, and he's 7 years for Rachel. And so he was a little, I don't know what you would call him, shady. How's that sound? His dealings with other people, Laban was. Well, this is Laban. Notice what he says to this servant. Kind of shady here too. I just never read it and caught it before. But her brother and mother said, "Let the young woman stay with us a few days, at least 10. After that, she may go." And what did the servant just say the verse before? "Send me away to my master," the verse before. He wanted to go back, complete the mission that he had given, that was given to him by Abraham. And he said to them, notice the determination of the servant. Are we like this in the things that we do? And he said to them, "Do not hinder me, since the Lord has prospered my ways. Send me away so that I may go to my master." He wasn't like that prophet that was in Israel that stayed around and kept staying there and staying and staying. And then finally, his concubine was killed. He stayed too long. You can probably remember that account as well. No, he says, "Don't hinder me. Since the Lord has prospered my ways, send me away back to my master." He put the task before him, and he was willing to stay the course, and he wanted to finish the course that Abraham gave him, the thing that he was supposed to do as a servant. Now, it's very, very interesting that we see, to me it was very interesting, to see about Rebekah and what she did, and then to see what the servant did, of how a servant should really act. How we as servants of Jesus Christ, we'll see that in a little bit, are to act. And these attributes that she had, Rebekah, and this servant had, we should incorporate into how we serve our Master and Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father. Let's go to the New Testament then and look at some of those scriptures. Let's go to Matthew 24:45. With this in the back of our minds about how to be a servant. Rebekah was totally selfless. She didn't think about herself. Are we totally selfless in how God deals with us? That's the question I'm asking you. Really, I ask myself. And I thought I'd just present it to you as well. It was kind of eye-opening to me when I think about how they acted and how I act sometimes. Matthew 24, verse 45. Christ is, I'm breaking into this all, but Christ is speaking. He says, "Who then is faithful and a wise servant, whom his master made ruler over his house, to give them food in due season?" Verse 46, "Blessed is that servant when his master, when he comes, will find him doing." So there's something we should be doing as servants of his. Verse 45, "Assuredly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all his goods." So by what we do now, he's going to give us more responsibility when we're changed to spirit beings. And what kind of servant? He's looking to see how we are serving other people, how we serve him, and let his will be done in our lives. So what type of a servant of God are you? What type of a servant of God am I? Let's go to Mark 9:35. Talks a little bit more about this. Mark 9:35. Mark 9 and verse 35. Here he's talking again. He sits down and calls the 12 and says to them, "If anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all." So if you want to have any kind of leadership responsibility, you're last. And you're to serve them more than anybody else. But we're all to be servants. He didn't say, "I don't want any servants, only the leaders." He didn't say that. He said, if you want, you have to serve more if you want to be a leader. Let's go down to Mark 10, verse 35. Of course, you probably heard this account before, but this is when the sons of John and James and John, the son of Zebedee, verse 35 of Mark 10. They come to him and say, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask." Now, if you have children and they come up to you, which they probably have, and they said, "Dad, I want you to do whatever I ask." It's always like a red flag to me. It was always like a red. I wonder what they're going to ask me. Why don't they just ask me and then I'll give them the answer? Well, they don't want the answer I was going to give them. Just answer that you will do it, Dad. And then he asked you the question. So, and he said to them, what do you want me to do for you? Christ asked. They said to him, "Grant us that we may sit on the right hand and on the other, on the left, in your glory." And Jesus said to them, "You don't know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink and to be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with? Are you willing to go through what I'm going to go through?" And they said to him, "We are able." So Jesus said to them, "You will indeed drink the cup that I drink and will be and with the baptism I am baptized with, you will be baptized. But to sit in my right hand or on my left is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it is prepared." So it's not for him to give. It was the Father decided. Verse 41, "And when the 10 heard it, they began to be greatly displeased with James and John." Now in the sermon that talked about unity, could you imagine the attitudes they might have had right now, the rest of the disciples? Probably wasn't too good, since they were displeased with them. Verse 42, "But Jesus called them to himself and said to them, 'You know that those who consider rulers over the Gentiles lord over them, and their greatest ones exercise authority over them.'" We see that in world leaders today. And in history, we've seen world leaders that were like that. Did terrible things to their people, ruled over them with great authority. "Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires becomes great among you shall be your servant. And whoever you desires to be first shall be your slave of all." Now isn't that interesting? He talks about servant and then he says slave. A servant was probably given something and the slave was given very little or nothing. He was paid, bought for. He had to be redeemed of some type if he was a slave. Verse 45, "Even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." So remember at the Last Supper, Christ gets down on his hands and knees and he washes each of the disciples' feet. He was truly a servant to them. So it tells us what we are to become. He washed the disciples' feet. We are to be the servants of the living God. And if we are to be the servants of the living God, do you have the attitude of Rebecca? Are you willing to walk voluntarily to help Christ in whatever he wants us to do? Voluntarily, no pay. To show kindness and generosity and finish the task that he has set to do for us, for each of us to do. Are you willing to be that servant for God, like the servant of Abraham was to Abraham, asking God for help and thanking him when he gives it to you, and giving him all the praise and honor that he wants, and not becoming sidetracked? He didn't get sidetracked. That servant did not get sidetracked. Do we get sidetracked with the cares of the world, the things that are taking place around us? The servant, Abraham's servant, did not get sidetracked. He was setting us an example of how we are to follow Christ and do his will and not get sidetracked. You know, it's very easy to get sidetracked when you're so busy in all kinds of things. Easy to easy, very, very easy. But he didn't get sidetracked. There's never been a selfish servant of God. If he's selfish, he's probably not serving God, right? Because those two attributes don't seem to fit. That's not what God wanted. So if I get in a selfish attitude, then I'm in the wrong frame of mind. How can I go forward and be a servant to God? There's no selfishness in the servant of God. And I, as Christ said in Mark 14, let's go back there and read that. Mark 14, verse 32. Then they came to a place which was named Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, sit here while I pray. So he went to the garden. It's right after the Passover. And he's going to soon be taken into custody. And he took Peter and James and John with him, and he began to be troubled and deeply distressed. Then he said to him, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch. Of course, remember, if you read the account, they fall asleep. And then verse 35, he said, he went a little farther, he fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what your will. Is that how we pray? That we want God's will done in our lives and not our own, just like he did? If we want, when we were baptized, we made that commitment to God. We said we'd do what he wanted. How well are we doing? How well are we being a servant of Jesus Christ? I gave you an idea about being a servant. I showed you an example of Rebecca. And I showed you an example of the servant of Abraham and their attributes. There's many other things we could glean from that, I'm sure. And there's many other places in the Bible that talk about servants. And you can glean more about it. But there's no selfishness in the servants of God, a servant of God. And Christ said that he was willing to, whatever his Father's will was, that's what he would do. That's how we should be. We should be in the same state of frame of mind as we walk down this path towards the conclusion of our lives. Let us be servants of God and servants of Jesus Christ. Let us be willing to do whatever it takes to let God and Jesus Christ develop that servant attitude within us. Hope you all have a very wonderful and enjoyable rest of the Sabbath. And have a great day.